The following was recorded live from the sanctuary of Bethel Worship Center, Tuppers Plains, Ohio, reaching the world for Jesus Christ from Meigs County. Join us now and experience an exciting message from our pastor, Rob Barber.
So hallelujah. This morning we're going to be talking about kingdom relationships. I got a two-part message at least on this. Sometimes these series grow as I keep talking about them. So I apologize for that, but I really want to cover everything that is necessary. As I study and begin to apply some of these principles and preach about them, Holy Spirit just continues to give me new areas and new things to talk about. So today we're going to talk about kingdom relationships and forgiveness. Forgiveness is extremely important in the body of Christ. We must forgive. We are forgiven. Amen? Therefore, we must forgive. You know, a Sunday school teacher was teaching a group of young kids, and she was trying to instill with them the importance of forgiveness. And she said to them, after doing some teaching, she said to them, tell me, how can you be forgiven of your sins? And the students just sat there and listened for a while. They were kind of, they didn't realize what she was saying. So she said, how are you forgiven for sin? And the students thought about it for a little bit, and one of the students, just sitting there, said, what do you mean, teacher? And she said, well, let me ask you this. How are you forgiven of sin? Let's just make it real simple. How are you forgiven for sin? And the students said, one of the students raised their hand, and they're just a little dumbfounded by this. And she said, well, I guess to be forgiven for sin, you first have to be a sinner. And it's the teacher said, that's exactly right. You do have to be a sinner. And every one of us, according to the Bible, is a sinner. We are all sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. Sin is a part of human nature. And yes, for kids, it's a little difficult for them to comprehend. But as adults, we should recognize what the Bible teaches us about sin and forgiveness. Jesus is the forgiver. Jesus, God said, the Word of God says that He sent His only begotten Son, that whoever would believe on Him should not perish but have everlasting life. So we're all forgiven when we receive Christ as our personal Savior. We recognize we're a sinner. We need to be saved. We ask forgiveness and praise God. We then have eternal life according to the Word of God. But you know what? There's something else about forgiveness that is very important. And Jesus taught us this. In the Lord's Prayer, He said this. This is, everybody knows the what the Lord's Prayer is. It's a model prayer. It's not necessarily a prayer that we're supposed to pray over and over. It's a guideline. You know, it's instructions on how we should pray. So when the disciples asked Jesus, how should we pray? Jesus said, okay, this is a guideline. I want you to pray like this. And He gave them steps. But in those steps, one of the things that the Lord taught them was that you should pray, Father, forgive us of our trespasses, which is sins, as we do what? Forgive others their trespasses. Now, as we're going to find out this morning, there's something really powerful about not forgiving and something very powerful about making sure we do forgive. Unforgiveness is a powerful weapon that the enemy uses against the body of Christ. And as we go, as we look at this, we're going to find out that this is not about salvation. I want to make sure everybody understands. If you have not forgiven somebody, it's not that God's not going to allow you into heaven if you've made Christ your personal Savior. But what we're going to find out is that there's some bondage that comes with not forgiving. All right, let's take a look at this. I'd like for you to look at Matthew chapter 18. Matthew chapter 18, verse 21 through 35. All right, if you've turned there, give everyone a chance on your phone, your iPad, your Bible. Some of you are old school like me, and you still carry Bibles with you. A lot of you have the Bible, the Word of God, on your phone or your iPad. That's great. Praise God. You know, we live in this very modern world where technology is an incredible thing. And we need to adapt to it as much as possible. I have a hard time. I struggle with Facebook and all these social media things. But it's a part of life these days. So we'll do our best to adapt to it. Matthew chapter 18, verse 21. Then Peter came to him and said, Lord, how often shall my brother sin against me and I forgive him? Up to seven times. Now, it's important that we understand that the Jewish culture, they taught that seven times was how many times you were supposed to forgive. And after seven times, if you forgave a person up to seven times, then you didn't have to forgive them anymore after that. This was not biblical teaching. This was rabbinical teaching. It came out of the rabbis' teachings rather than from the Bible. Jesus said to him, I do not say to you up to seven times, but up to 70 times seven. Therefore, the kingdom of heaven is like a certain king who wanted to settle accounts with his servants. And when he had begun to settle accounts, one was brought to him who owed him 10,000 talents. But as he was not able to pay, his master commanded that he be sold and with his wife, children, and all that he had, and that payment be made. The servant therefore fell down before him, saying, Master, have patience with me, and I will pay you all. Then the master of the servant was moved with compassion, released him, and forgave him the debt. But the servant went out and found one of his fellow servants who owed him 100 denarii. And he laid hands on him and took him by the throat, saying, Pay me what you owe. And he would not, but went and threw him into prison till he should pay the debt. So when his fellow servants saw what had been done, they were very grieved and came and told their master all that had been done. Then his master, after he had called him, said to him, You wicked servant, I forgave you all that debt because you begged me. Should you not also have had compassion on your fellow servants just as I had pity on you? And his master was angry and delivered him to the torturers until he should pay all that was due to him. So my heavenly Father also will do to you if each of you, from his heart, does not forgive his brother his trespasses. This is a powerful piece of scripture for us to understand the spiritual ramifications of unforgiveness and forgiveness. The power that is released both in the kingdom of darkness and the kingdom of light. Power that binds people up in the kingdom of darkness if we do not forgive, and power to release us in the kingdom of light if we do forgive. God's kingdom is all about light, and it's all about truth. It's all about recognize. It's all about our heart. It's all about God moving in such a way that he heals, sets free, and delivers people. And if we do not believe that God is still in the miracle working business, what are we doing here? I can't understand those who say the Bible and the miracles and the power of God all went away, all vanished when the apostles died. That's not what the Bible teaches. The Word of God teaches us that God gave power to his church, and these signs are going to follow the church, the people, not just a select group of people, but all of God's people. Excuse me. So the first thing that we want to look at this morning is Jesus' teaching here is directed toward our brother. So who is our brother? Now, when we talk about brother, I'm talking about gender neutral. I'm talking about brothers and sisters. The Bible refers to brother. And he's talking about we all have become, God has given us the power to become sons of God, is what Scripture tells us. Well, he's not just saying sons, he's saying sons and daughters of God. Children of God is a proper rendering there. We are all children of God. So when we believe, we come into the kingdom of God, we become children of God. 1 Peter 2:17 tells us this. Honor all people, love the brotherhood, fear God, honor the king. So love the brotherhood. The brotherhood that he's talking about here is the church. All those who have made Jesus Christ their personal Savior is part of the brotherhood. Galatians 6:10 says it this way, therefore, as we have opportunity, let us do good to all, especially to those who are of the household of faith. The household of faith is the church, the ecclesia, the believers. Everyone who has made Christ their personal Savior is in the household of faith. Jesus nailed this down for us when he said this in Matthew 12:50. For whoever does the will of my Father in heaven is my brother, my sister, and my mother. So we're all part, in believing in Christ, we're all part of the brotherhood. Now, I know some of you probably know this. There are many secret societies throughout the world. There's Knights Templar, their secret society. They're Bilderbergers, their secret society. Illuminati, secret society. Golden Dawn, Rosicrucians, Freemasons, Skull and Bones. Now, Skull and Bones was one of those things that was made popular when George Bush became president, or while he was running as president, for president, because he belonged to Skull and Bones when he was in college, along with John Kerry, I believe. They both belonged to Skull and Bones. It was such a secret society that when they were asked about it publicly, they both said, they were asked, tell us about Skull and Bones, and they both said, we can't. It's a secret. They weren't allowed to talk about it. Isn't that incredible that we have secret societies all over the world, all over this nation? And they're so secret that you're not allowed to talk about it. And yet, people just, they disregard these crazy things. And yet, the thing that is most ridiculed in the world is the society of light, which is the body of Christ, because we are open about what we believe. We're not afraid to say, we serve the living God. He is a powerful God. He's on my side. He's going to do mighty things for us. He is with us wherever we go. We're not afraid to share the gospel. There is a kingdom here in this earth. Jesus said, the kingdom of God is at hand. Hallelujah. That means it's here. And it's still here and never left here. Because the church is here. And the church carries the kingdom of God with it wherever we go. So the power of God is available. We are a kingdom of light, not a kingdom of darkness. Any society that has to keep secrets is a kingdom of darkness. Therefore, we proclaim the truth in openness and light, knowing that Jesus is King, Lord, and Savior. Hallelujah. Amen. Next thing, Matthew 18:21, it says this, then Peter came to him and said, we're just going to look at some of these scriptures over, Lord, how often shall my brother sin against me and I forgive him? Up to 7 times? Jesus said to him, I do not say to you up to seven times, but up to 70 times seven. Now, we must realize that Jesus is not giving us the mathematical formula, you know. Just like the rabbis believed it was seven times, Jesus is not saying you can forgive a person 490 times and then 491, forget it. No more. No, Jesus is trying to tell us there isn't an amount of times that you stop forgiving your brother. If your brother asks for forgiveness, you forgive. Now, this is difficult. This is difficult for me. This is difficult for you. This is difficult for the body of Christ. Because when somebody continues to sin against us or continues to do something evil and nasty to us, it's very hard to forgive that person. And yet, we are commanded by Scripture to do so. We must allow Holy Spirit to move in our life, to allow us to be the kind of people that can forgive no matter what happens. Now, I want to say something to you. Forgiveness refuses to hold a grudge. That means that you recognize that you do not have a right. See, if we're holding a grudge, we feel like we have a right to do something to that person that has done something to us. But if we understand forgiveness, then we come to the point where we recognize that we do not have that right. We must relinquish that to God, Almighty Father, and allow Him to deal with the issue that we can't deal with. This is a difficult thing, particularly in the body of Christ, because I believe there are hundreds and thousands of people in the body of Christ that are bound up with unforgiveness, and it's destroying their lives. And sometimes that unforgiveness is unwarranted. It was a misunderstanding. It was something that was said that wasn't meant to be harmful, but the person, because of a prior situation that they'd gone through, it touches a nerve. It pushes a button. The individual may not have even said what they think they heard that person say. How many have ever been in that situation? Come on, am I alone? You know, as pastor, I've experienced this over and over and over. How many times Tammy and I have sat counseling someone, and when it was over, they'd go out and tell people something that we said or did that was harmful to them. Tammy and I will look at each other and we wonder, you know, we'd say, was that person in the same meeting that we were in? Because it didn't happen that way. And yet, we spoke about something, touched a nerve, pushed a button that made them recall a pain in their life. And they not only had that pain, but they added what they thought we had said or done to that pain. And the pain just continues to grow. If that pain is not dealt with, it will destroy your life. Not only destroy your life, but it's one of those curses that is handed down from generation to generation to generation. Now, let me say something to you. There's a difference between holding a grudge and earning trust. Otis is a good man, and I've never had any problems with Pastor Otis. But if I had, if Pastor Otis, now according to the Scripture, it doesn't matter how many times a person has done you wrong, you should forgive them. Well, if Pastor Otis has stabbed me in the back 20 times, and he's standing there with a knife, I'm not going to turn my back on him. That would be ridiculous, wouldn't it? So what I'm trying to say to you is there's a difference between holding a grudge where I would say, give me that knife, I'm going to give it back to you, or I'm not going to trust you until you prove to me that you are trustworthy. There is nothing wrong with recognizing or realizing that people need to prove themselves trustworthy. And if they have stabbed you in the back multiple times, don't put yourself in a position to be stabbed again. Love them. Forgive them. Do not retaliate. But do not turn your back. Does that make sense to you? Okay. Hallelujah. Here's what we need to understand about relationships with people. Our relationship with the body of Christ is relevant to our relationship to God. Jesus said, the greatest commandment of all is to love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, and mind. And the second, which is connected to it, is to love your neighbor as yourself. So Jesus is telling us that the way we treat, the way we think, the way we act, the way we interact with one another is evidence of our relationship with the Father. That's hard. That's tough. Some of you need to think about that in the way you interact and react in your household. Are you treating those people the way the Father wants you to treat them? Are you reacting and acting the way the Father reacts and acts toward you? His love, His power. God wants to change households. God wants to change the body of Christ. God wants to set us free. But if we continue to walk in this unforgiveness toward one another, and I must say, that is very powerful within the family. Husbands walk with unforgiveness. Wives walk with unforgiveness. Children have unforgiveness. And it's destroying our families. But I truly believe in the power of God to set free. Next thing I want to share with, see, we have been forgiven an impossible debt. Matthew 18:23. Therefore, the kingdom of heaven is like a certain king who wanted to settle accounts with his servants. And when he had begun to settle accounts, one was brought to him. One was brought to him who owed 10,000 talents. Okay, first of all, The amount of money that this guy owed him was an extraordinary amount of money. Even in our currency here in the United States today, it would be well over $1 million. So we're talking about a lot of money here. And then let's go on to the next scripture. Matthew 18:25. But as he was not able to pay, his master commanded that he be sold, with his wife, his children, and all that he had, and that payment be made. That was not an unusual thing in the Bible times. They sold the family off to pay the debt. The servant therefore fell down before him, saying, Master, have patience with me, and I will pay you all. Just give me some time, and I'll pay it. I'll get it paid back. Matthew 18:27. Then the master of that servant was moved with compassion, released him, and forgave him the debt. The debt that we owe, now this is, you know, we can look back in, at this situation and this parable that Jesus is giving us, and we can recognize that that Jesus is talking about our salvation. And he's saying the debt that you owe is such an extraordinary debt that you could never pay it off. Therefore, I have forgiven you. In the blood of Jesus, it doesn't just cover our sins, it washes them away, hallelujah. Amen. Sets us free. So this servant was set free from an incredible debt. But the servant went out and found one of his fellow servants who owed him 100 denarii. And he laid hands on him and took him by the throat, saying, pay me what you owe me. Now, 100 denarii is not a piddling sum, but it's nothing compared to the debt that he owed. It's about today's currency, about $2,000. Most people could probably come up with $2,000 to some way to pay off a debt if you had to, it meant you were going to go to prison. You could scrounge around, do something, sell everything you've got to get $2,000 to keep you from going to prison, having your whole family sold away. It was possible to pay that debt. And yet, the man whose debt was forgiven him, who was impossible, would not forgive the possible, the small amount. Let's go on to Matthew 18:29. So his fellow servant fell down at his feet and begged him, saying, "Have patience with me, and I'll pay you all." And he would not, but went and threw him into prison till he would pay the debt. Because we have been forgiven such an incredible debt, Jesus tells us it's only right that we would forgive those who are indebted to us or who have transgressed against us. And as I already said, sometimes those transgressions that we think have happened are just a result of our perception of the circumstances. It's not always the way we see it, the way we perceive it. That's why it's very important that if you have a pain, a hurt in your life, you have something that you're just dealing with, that you go to the Father, go to the Lord Jesus Christ, ask Holy Spirit to reveal to you the truth of that situation, so that you can see exactly what was really happening. Because the enemy will take any opportunity to distort and twist and try to destroy the relationships that the Father has brought into your life. Relationships are good. Relationships are important. Being a part of the body of Christ, we must build and grow in relationships. That's why I encourage people to be involved in small groups so that we can have the kind of relationships that when we have needs, we have people around us that will pray for us, that will be there, that will help us, that will meet our needs. The last thing we're going to talk about this morning is, we're running out of time, so I'm gonna end with this. Unforgiveness results in torment. Matthew 18:31. So when his fellow servant saw what had been done, they were very grieved and came and told their master all that had been done. Then his master, after he had called him, said to him, "You wicked servant, I forgave you all that debt, and because you begged me, should you not also have had compassion on your fellow servant, just as I had pity on you?" 18:34, and his master was angry and delivered him to the torturers until he should pay all that was due to him. Torturers here, it's really important that we recognize. He's talking about torturers. He's talking about tormentors. The King James says tormentors. It means one who elicits the truth out of somebody or what they want to hear with torture until they pay what is due, until they give the answer that they want. And that's what we try to do when we torture somebody whom we believe has hurt us. We're trying to get the right response out of them. That we want them to be as hurt as we were hurt. We want them to feel the same pain that we felt. And yet that's impossible. In reality, what really happens is what happens in this situation. Listen closely to what took place. So my heavenly Father, And his master was angry and delivered him to the torturers until he should pay all that was due to him. So my heavenly Father also will do to you if each of you from his heart does not forgive his brother his trespasses. Now, I want to make sure you all understand this is Scripture. Pastor Rob didn't write this. I'm not trying to bring pain on anybody. I'm not trying to bind up anybody. But the Heavenly Father said, if you do not forgive from your heart, if you do not forgive your brother his trespasses, I'm going to do the same thing to you. Wow. I'll tell you the truth, I don't like this scripture. This is a painful scripture. And yet, it's one that brings light into the life of God's people. I sometimes have issues with people, believe it or not. You know, I'm a really nice guy. I don't understand it sometimes. But I have issues. You all know, most of you know, that about 4 years ago I had an issue with a neighbor. He shot and killed my puppies. And, that was really painful for me. And when it happened, I got to tell you, I did not react the way I probably should have. I was very angry. And I went to the guy's house. And we had words. And my words were not nice words. And, this guy, he's an old country boy. He grew up in West Virginia. He's a scrapper. And before I left that place, he was ready to fight. And I got to tell you, I wanted to so bad. Everything inside of me wanted to jump right in his face as quick as I possibly could. And yet there was something, I know it was Holy Spirit, that said, no, you don't want to do that. Do you know what that's going to do? And I didn't think through it. I just heard the Holy Spirit say, no, don't do that. But after I thought about it later, what would they have done to my witness as a pastor of Bethel? What would people think of me? Regardless of whether I beat him down or he beat me down, it wouldn't matter. But I want to tell you, I was angry enough, I don't think he would have beat me down. Whoa. And yet, praise God, I'm just thankful that the Holy Spirit speaks to me. Because I did walk away from that situation. And here's what I want to leave you with this morning in regards to this story. Because I don't always get things right. I'm human. I make lots of mistakes. I say things and do things sometimes that I shouldn't. I miss the mark. But even though I acted the way I did, I think I got this right. Because I didn't retaliate. I went home, and about a week later, that gentleman's son's little house dog got loose and came to my house. You can imagine what went through my mind. And yet, I knew what was right. And it was a struggle. But I had to do the right thing. So, my brother, who has a relationship with those people, came by and I gave the dog to him. I said, would you take this dog back to them? Tell them that it was at my house. And he did. Now, I don't know how the guy reacted to that. Who knows? But I don't care. What I care about is that I feel like I did the right thing in that situation. And I'll praise God. If he shoots another one of my dogs, I don't know what I'll do. I don't want to go through that. But I want to do the right thing. And I that's the only thing I want to share with you this morning is I believe you want to do the right thing. And sometimes you make mistakes, and sometimes the enemy uses these situations in your life to bring unforgiveness into your heart. And the only way to be set free from that is to ask Holy Spirit to touch you, deliver you, and help you to deal with the issue. Because you can't do it by yourself. You can't overcome these things. You can't overcome the issues in your family that have caused unforgiveness in your heart. You can't overcome those conflicts that you've had with people on the job, in the workplace, or wherever it is, unless Holy Spirit is using you to touch the lives of other people. And that means He's stirring your heart. He's taken that stony heart that had unforgiveness out, and He's put in a fleshly heart that He can shape and mold. Today, we've got to come to this place where we forgive. Completely and totally forgive. Will we recognize that maybe we have a right? Maybe something inside of you says, I have a right to hold a grudge against that person. I have a right to get back at that individual. But I want you to understand, it's not about your rights. It's about the forgiveness that has been issued to you and to me, to us. It's about recognizing that we've been forgiven so much, we must be willing also to forgive. There's two friends walking through a desert. And as they were walking along, they were actually brothers. And they were walking along and they got in an argument. And one slapped the other one. And it really hurt this guy that his best friend, his brother, would slap him. And he knelt down and he wrote in the sand, "Today, my best friend, my brother, slapped me." And they walked on, and they came to an oasis, and they were so thirsty and tired and dirty. They got in the water there at the oasis, and the friend that had been slapped got stuck in the mire, and he was unable to get out, and he was about to drown. And his best friend came over and pulled him out, saved his life. And he went over when it was all done, and he found a rock. And he carved in that rock, "Today, my best friend, my brother, saved my life." And his friend said to him, "You know, when I slapped you in the desert, you knelt down and wrote something. And when I saved your life, you wrote on that rock." And he said, "Yeah." He said, "I believe this, that when someone or your brother or your best friend hurt you, you should write it down, but write it in the sand so the wind can blow it away. But when they do something good for you, you should write it in stone so that it'll last forever." That's a way of thinking. That's a heart issue. That's something that we need to take to heart. There's been a lot of pain, a lot of issues in all our lives. But there's also been some really good things that God has done. Think on these things, the scripture says. Whatsoever is good and right and pure and righteous, good things. This morning, I'm going to ask you to stand with me.
Hello, this is Pastor Rob Barber. I hope you have been blessed by this message. Our desire is to connect you to God and His kingdom with anointed messages. If you have enjoyed this podcast and would like more information about our ministry, please visit us at bethelwc.org. And remember, love never fails.